I'm just going to start off a message now. I'm going to begin what we're going to look at for a few weeks, and that is the life of Jehoshaphat. So chapter 17, 2 Chronicles 17 is where we'll take our starting point. We'll look at the foundations of Jehoshaphat's life and the foundations he tried to lay in the country of Judah as well. We're going to see his faithfulness. So 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 6, it says, "His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. He removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah." His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Why would we want to study someone's life? Why would we want to study the life of a man who lived in a very different world, a different context, a very long time ago? We're talking about 2,850, I think it is, years ago. Long time ago. I'm sure many of you enjoy reading biography. And we read biography for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes we read biography just out of curiosity, but I guess we're looking for inspiration as well. Especially if we're looking at the lives of great leaders, people who did great things. What was it that motivated them? You know, how can we in our lives in some way benefit from their example? So that's one of the reasons why we're looking at Jehoshaphat. Don't know how well you know Jehoshaphat. If I asked you today, tell me something that happened in Jehoshaphat's reign. I have to confess, even, you know, for all that I've read it many times, I would probably struggle myself. I'd have to think for a minute. What happened in the life of Jehoshaphat? He's not so well known, although he is one of the greatest of the kings. We are interested in character. And there are things that we can look at in character too. Things that can tell us a lot about our characters as well as Jehoshaphat's. For example, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What do you really care about? That's something that we can see from Jehoshaphat in a minute. How do you behave under pressure? We'll find that out about Jehoshaphat too. How do you behave under pressure? Where are you in relation to God? These are three things that are really powerful tests of character. And hopefully as we look at them, we will be searched and challenged and encouraged as we think about them in Jehoshaphat's life. Jehoshaphat was a son of Asa, and Asa was also a good king. I think Jehoshaphat was a better king. And things went down very badly after Jehoshaphat. His son Jehoram was a truly nasty piece of work. And that was the way it was with the kings. Things went up and down and up and down. And I suppose it's like that in any hereditary monarchy, which is what this was, what we have in our own country today. So, of course, when Asa had died, they were all saying, well, what's the new king going to be like? Just in the way we did recently when Elizabeth died, and we were asking, what's Charles going to be like? And, of course, we had a fair idea, but we were still looking keenly to see how he would fare in the initial ceremonies of state that inaugurated his reign. And also the behind-the-scenes stuff that we got to see. Sometimes it wasn't so encouraging, I suppose. That would be the same with us. The behind-the-scenes cameras might show things about us that we'd rather people didn't see. So when we read about Jehoshaphat, we're going to find out a man like us. And yet, there was one thing that stood out about this man. And here it is in verse 6. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Now, how do we know that? Well, the person that's writing this record in Chronicles is actually drawing, where we read it at the end there, he's drawing on earlier material. He's drawing on the Book of Kings. So some of what we're reading in Chronicles, you'll find it in Kings as well. But he's also drawing on other records which we don't exist anymore. And he has thankfully used them. And these are records that were written by people who had observed Jehoshaphat's life. They saw what kind of man he was, and they saw how he behaved in different situations over the 25 years of his reign. And their overall impression was, here was a man who was devoted to the Lord. He was passionate about the Lord. In times of pressure, it showed that the Lord mattered to him. In relation to God, his heart was devoted. So straight away, we can look at ourselves. I can look at myself. And I can ask the question, if someone was doing a chronicle of my life, and they were trying to sum it up, would they find it possible to say, his heart, or your heart, was devoted to the Lord? I really want that to be the case. I want it to be the case for you as well, that our hearts be devoted to the ways of the Lord. Other passages in 2 Chronicles say, verse 3 of chapter 19, he set his heart on seeking God. In chapter 20, verse 32, we read, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I want that to be said about me on the basis of observation. So that's a challenge for you and me, because it's quite possible that pretty much all of us will have that kind of experience, not while we're living, but perhaps our obituaries will be written, our tributes will be read at a funeral. Will it be possible for people to say, well, of him and of her, their hearts were devoted to the Lord? You could look at them and tell, this is what motivated them. That's a good test. Good test to start with. As we think about Jehoshaphat's life, and he passed that test, as we think about our own lives. You know, our hearts devoted to God, to the Creator, the one who's made us, the one who gives us life, and the one who's given us our Saviour, Jesus. His heart is faithful to us. We sang that in Psalm 89. Are our hearts devoted to the Lord? It's a really important question for us. It will show. Are there things in your life that show a devotion of heart to the Lord? If you were to look at Jesus, you'd certainly see everything that he did was an evidence of his devotion to the Lord, to his Father in heaven, but also of a devotion to us. You can look at Jesus and you can see how he doesn't serve himself. He's not in this world to use the trappings of his divine glory in order to have a really self-indulgent visit to planet Earth. He is here to help, and he is here in his devotion to us, to give his life for us, the whole of his life, not just on the cross, but everything in his 33 years for us. We can see that in Jesus. We know the kind of Saviour we have, the kind of God and Father who sends his Son in that way. So it's only right for you and me to have hearts devoted to God, and to be able to show that devotion ourselves in some of the things we do. So let me just quickly go through a few things that we can read in 2 Chronicles that were true of Jehoshaphat in general, that show that he was a man who was devoted to God. First thing that we can note is that he was a man who cared for his people, and he tried to protect his people, and he tried to protect them from particularly the Israelite kingdom north of Judah, which was at war with them. In other words, he wasn't just a man who said, well, we'll just pray to God to protect us, but we'll do nothing else. Well, there's definitely much to be said for praying to God to protect. And there are times when we can't do anything else. There are times we really can't help ourselves. And we need to know those times and still trust God. And we can't, for example, pay for our own sins, but we have a God who has done that for us, so we can pray for our forgiveness. But when it comes to practical measures that we can take, Jehoshaphat took them. So, for example, in chapter 17, where we read at the beginning, it says, he strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. And as a result of his fortifying his people and establishing an army, a very significant army, for the protection of his people, verse 10 of chapter 17, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. So he prayed for his people and their protection, but he also took precautions. Very simple thing, that. You know, we pray, for example, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Does that mean we just wait for it to miraculously appear on the table? I mean, there may be situations where we wouldn't have any food at all and we wouldn't know where it was coming from. Hope we're never in that situation. And then God would have to simply just come to rescue in a miraculous way. But most of the time we pray for daily bread and we go out and buy it. We make it. We are thankful to have food. And there's lots of things like that. Jehoshaphat doesn't pray for protection but make no defences. We don't pray we'll pass an exam but not study. Got to study as well. We don't pray for enough money for the years ahead, but at the same time don't save. You know, that's not what we do. We don't pray for good health and then eat really badly and have all the kinds of habits that damage our bodies. We don't pray to be close to God, but then not bother about Him and spend no time with Him. You know, we've got to pray and act. Very important that we do both. And Jehoshaphat showed his devotion to God by both. There's some extraordinary things about Jehoshaphat too, in terms of his own desire for his people to know about God. Jehoshaphat is very unusual in among the kings in that he tried to teach his people about God. So we read in chapter 17 and verse 9, that he sent out leaders and they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went round to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. You know, we take Christian teaching for granted, but there are many parts of the world where there isn't any. People are confused. They don't know who God is. They don't know what's right and wrong. And Jehoshaphat saw his fellow countrymen and he thought, they need to know. They need to know about the Lord. They need to know what's right and wrong. I don't just want to keep it to myself, he said. I want them to know. And we ourselves, we would show our devotion to God by wanting others to know about Him too. Can we really have a Saviour who has loved us and given Himself for us and opened the doors of heaven to us and we don't want anyone to know about it? Not at all. So, like Jehoshaphat, we want to do what we can in our power to help others to know about Him. And each one of us can think about how we can do that in our own context. Jehoshaphat also established justice in his nation. Now, these were pretty lawless times a lot of the time. They were times when people often just did what was right in their own eyes. But Jehoshaphat didn't want that. In fact, the name Jehoshaphat means the Lord is judge. And so we find Jehoshaphat again establishing law and order. Chapter 19, verse 5, for example, it says there, he appointed judges in the land, in each of the fortified cities of Judah. He told them, consider carefully what you do, because you're not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. Now you notice there that the basis of justice for Jehoshaphat is not his power as king or what he thinks should happen. It is the throne of God. And we're privileged to live in a country whose legal system has been considerably influenced by the teaching of right and wrong in the Bible. But this in Jehoshaphat's day was very far-sighted, really. And, you know, it's easy to not appreciate what we have in our own justice system. But if we are people devoted to the Lord, like Jehoshaphat, we care about justice. We care where we see exploitation and unfairness. And we are privileged to have organisations that we can support, that work throughout the world to help to bring justice to oppressed groups. But closer to home, we may find causes in our own communities which show a great deal of injustice, which show people who are able to influence things in an unjust way, perhaps because of their money or because of the use of power, the abuse of power. We want to be people who see fairness and justice as important. So what can we do? Think of Jesus in the temple. He said, this house is a house of prayer for all nations. And there was this great court of the Gentiles where they could come and pray, but they couldn't because it was full of money changers making money and people selling sacrifices. And he drove them out, made that whip, and he drove them out because he wanted to see justice and equity. The Gentiles, as well as the Jews, having access to the temple and to the Lord. So what can we do? What can we do? If we're devoted to God, justice is always going to be a priority. We also see Jehoshaphat as an evangelist, and this really is very unusual. In chapter 19 and verse 4, Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. So this is a king. He doesn't send out others to do the job. He goes too. He goes out among his people. He gets off his throne and he goes to people where they are, in the villages, out in the desert regions like Beersheba, up in the frontier towns in Ephraim. He's not afraid to get in among people to turn them back to the Lord. Now, I know you're not like that, but I know the Christian church sometimes is just an enclave. It's a ghetto. It's a place where people have retreated from engaging and seek to enjoy the privileges of salvation without sharing them with others. Well, Jehoshaphat's an example of something very different. Despite his power and his kingly rule and responsibility, he gets out among people because he cares for them and for their spiritual good. Now that is a great example. What, you know, we can sit in our little thrones all the time and not want to be disturbed from our little kingdoms. But God wants us to be among people, however difficult we find that, to turn unto the Lord, to share the grace of Christ with them. And finally, Jehoshaphat, because he was king, he had a lot of power. And so he actually did what he could to establish the worship of the living God as the state religion. Obviously, we're not in that position. But it has been done in Scotland in the past. So Christianity is, to a large extent, still the state religion, because people in the past used their power to establish state religion. So back in chapter 17 and verse 6, we read, "His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah." Asherah poles were like totems that were used in the worship of the pagan gods of the surrounding nations. And the high places were places other than the temple, out in the countryside, usually, as it says, up in hills, where the people would go to worship the false gods of the surrounding nations. And he removed these. Didn't want them to be part of his kingdom. He wanted his people to worship the Lord and the Lord only. And, well, of course, we tried that today. There would be an outcry if Christians tried to stop other people in our nation from practicing their religions. Just wouldn't be able to do that. And that's why we need to evangelize with love. We have nothing to fear from any contest with the false gods, because across the border in Israel at this very, very time, Elijah had that contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The God who answers with fire, he is the Lord. And remember that the Lord answered with fire. The Baal gods were just worthless statues. People were worshipping. The Christian faith is the faith of power. The power of the resurrection of Jesus. The power of the forgiveness of sins. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the love of God. All the other religions are man-made. And they're empty. So let's use whatever vestiges of state religion of Christianity we still have to try and promote not a formal kind of constitutional religion where people come to great services in churches for state occasions and it's very formal and lifeless and often meaningless, but rather to call people to real personal devotion to Jesus. We read at the end of Jehoshaphat's reign that notwithstanding all his efforts, not everyone was convinced. In chapter 20 and verse 33, although we read early in his reign, he had removed the high places, the places of pagan worship. Chapter 20 and verse 33, it says at the end of his reign, the high places, however, were not removed, and the people still had not set their hearts on the God of their fathers. And that's a sad thing, really, isn't it? That, you know, as soon as Hezekiah was, not Hezekiah, but Jehoshaphat was off the scene, they were straight back to their pagan worship. They loved Jehoshaphat, and they knew he loved them. They honoured him. We saw they brought him great riches and wealth, and they loved him as a king. They knew he cared for them and looked after them. But still, unlike him, many of them did not have hearts devoted to the Lord. So at the end of this message, and all of us a considerable way through our own lives, we've benefited from the Christian religion being in our midst. We've benefited from state religion, if you like. We've seen the example of others. We've had evangelism in our midst. We've heard about Jesus. We've been taught about Jesus. Where's it left us? Hezekiah's heart was devoted to the Lord. But it says at the end of his reign, as we read there, chapter 20, verse 33. The people still had not set their hearts on the God of their fathers. That's a challenge to leave me with. I can't rely on anyone else's devotion to God to make me a better person, or to make me stand good before God. Indeed, I can't even rely on my own devotion to God. I have to rely on what Jesus has done for me. And in response, I want to be devoted to Him. And I want my heart to be one for Him. So, what about us? Are the high places removed? Are the places where devotion to things other than God are, as given, removed from our lives? Are our lives truly devoted to the Lord, as was Jehoshaphat's life? That's our challenge. And if we examine ourselves just now and think, no, probably not, then this is our chance to recognize, what are we devoted to? Are we at the end of our lives going to be glad of the things that we've devoted our lives to? A lot of those things at the end of our lives will probably cause us bitterness and disappointment. But if we're devoted to the Lord, then He'll be there always. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And He will give us, as Peter writes, an abundant entrance into His everlasting kingdom. Because if our hearts are devoted to Him, His heart most certainly is devoted to us. Amen.